John chapter 13, verse number 31 is what I want to read this morning. I believe this was the verse that was read last week as the elders spoke. John chapter 13, starting at verse number 31. And Jesus is speaking. This is when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Some of you, perhaps many of you, are inundated with the mentioning and influence of social media. By social media, I am referring to what some call the internets. More specifically, there are platforms on the internet that were created to build social interaction, social networking. In the beginning, it was called blogging. And so blogging was the most popular way to interact with people online. There were those who were authors or pastors or writers or just, you know, cooks, whatever, and they would go online, they would have a website, and they would blog. They would write about their particular area of interest, and they would gain followers. People would go to these blogs and read their blogs, and if it was a good blog, you would share that blog with other people, and you would actually begin to interact with other people as you discussed what that blogger was writing. But following sort of the blogging and the popularity of blogs came these social networking sites. One of the very first sites was a site called Zynga. Anybody here remember Zynga? Some of y'all younger people, older people are like, just keep talking. We'll get with you soon, Dion. Zynga, when I came here as a youth minister years ago, this was the site that all the kids were on. Everyone had a Zynga page, and that's all they talked about. We get together in youth group, and they talk about, oh, Zynga, 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 Zynga. This was before, you know, you did websites on your phones, and everyone would try to, hey, Dion, they come over to the house. Can I get on your computer? I have to check my Zynga. Zynga, 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 Zynga. But then came a site called MySpace. How many people remember MySpace? MySpace? MySpace came along, and MySpace became the most popular social networking platform. People would get on there. From the years 2005 to 2008, MySpace was the preeminent social networking site. Then came the mother of them all, Facebook. Facebook came along. Facebook was started by Mark Zuckerberg, and its success as a social media platform has made Zuckerberg one of the richest men in the world. Zuckerberg has a net worth of nearly $70 billion, billion with a capital B. There are an estimated 2.5 billion users on Facebook. Now, surely some people have multiple accounts, so I'm not sure that 2.5 means that there's 2.5 individual people, but just as a perspective, there are only close to 8 billion people on the planet, and there are 2.5 billion users on Facebook. Now, Facebook is the leader in terms of users, but there are other sites that seek to increase social networking, social net interactions. Instagram. Instagram has 1 billion users. Twitter, 330 million users. Snapchat. 191 million users. One that's grown in popularity now is TikTok. Y'all know about TikTok? I know y'all kids do. That's like y'all are always, look at that. I see, you kept the kids in here a good day, because they're all like, yeah, TikTok, we know TikTok. That's another one that's gaining in popularity. What has been the result of all of these social media platforms? Well, let's start with the positive first. First, people through simple searches have been able to stay in contact with friends and family. I've been able to stay in touch with childhood friends, high school teammates that I played ball with, family members. We're doing a family reunion, and so we network and get together through Facebook, and it's just a really simple tool for us to use to stay connected. Social media has allowed us to plan events and advertise events, live stream events. That's like show video. I mean, there are a lot of churches that use Facebook to show their worship service on Facebook. If you can't be here, maybe you're sick at home, you can watch worship through Facebook. Social media is the place where we can share pictures and funny stories about our day. We can ask for prayers and give updates on situations without having to make 30 calls to share with people. You know, you just put it in one place, and if you're connected with all of your family and friends, they all know what's going on. You don't have to make individual calls. Social media has been a place to get news. With a simple click, you can read about current events and news. You don't have to wait for the newspaper to be delivered to your door or go buy a paper. You can literally read it in your Facebook feed, in your Twitter feed. Now, that's probably a good place than any other to start talking about some of the downsides of social media. Because so many people get their news through social media, it has become many folks' preferred source of news. Unfortunately, there is so much what we call quote-unquote fake news, false stories, innuendo, and flat-out deceitful information that a lot of news that are in these feeds, they're just not credible. Please, if you are on social networking sites, please be careful before you post a news story as being news. I hate to say this, but some people in this room have posted things on Facebook and they're just flat out not true. But you think it's true because it looks credible, it seems credible. Before you post something, make sure it's true, it's credible, it's right, because there's just a ton of things out there. But even with true news, be careful what you post. Last couple weeks ago, Kobe Bryant, professional basketball player for the Los Angeles Lakers, you probably all seen, he passed away tragically with his young daughter in a helicopter crash. How did his wife find out that he passed away? Somebody posted on social media, "Rest in peace, Kobe." And some of her friends called her and said, "Is Kobe okay?" She learned about her husband's death, not from the sheriff's department, but from social media. See, that's just one of the downsides of what we do. TMZ and all these other places are so quick to get these stories out, and it's been a hurtful. And that she reports was just one of the most painful experiences, learning that her husband passed away because it's all over Facebook and Twitter. Another sort of downside is that social media is addicting and is probably the reason we see so many people like this all the time. This is how we see people. I mean, when you see people without a phone, they look like this, don't they, right? How many people you've pulled up to a stoplight, you're in back of someone who's at a stoplight, and the stoplight turns green and they're not moving, and you look and you see them like this in the car? It's so addicting. On average, they say that people touch their phone with taps and everything on average 3,000 times a day. It's addicting. When you're walking outside, you see people walking, they're just like this. And what's, it used to be that people would walk like this and they'd, you know, bump into you, but people have become so professional that they have like spidey sense or something, and they'll see you and they're typing and they're like, and they just know to just turn, right? Because they're so good at it. It's highly addictive. Another downside of social media is that it is a source of some of the most vitriolic content on the internet. I stand amazed that people on social media try to use that platform to try to convince people with whom they disagree to side with them. It hardly ever works. I know very few people who emerge out of a vitriolic, nasty debate on Facebook with someone they disagree with, a Democrat versus a Republican. I never see a Republican say, man, I just got into this argument with this Democrat on Facebook, and you know what? I want to become a Democrat. It never works. It never works. But what happens is that the words and the sentiments that fly back and forth, it's just disgusting. That's social media. Okay, enough of my social media diatribe. That's really not my focus this morning. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I want to talk about a little thing here. Go to that next slide. It's called a hashtag. How many people know that that's called a hashtag and not a pound sign? It used to be called a pound sign, but now it's a hashtag. I don't think we ever hear it called a pound sign, except when you call on the phone and you're trying to get information and they say, press 9, pound, enter your social security number, then pound. It's the only time we hear pound. But most of the time we see that sign, we see that's a hashtag. The hashtag has become so ingrained into the world of social media. It is a way to highlight a keyword or a topic. It is a way for folks to search these topics and see related content and posts associated with that word or topic. For example, right now, one of the most popular topics in the world, and Dr. Nick brought it up, is the coronavirus, right? So when there are news stories written to report on this coronavirus, some news agencies in Twitter and on Facebook will put hashtag coronavirus, so that if someone goes to Facebook or they go to Twitter or they go to Instagram and they search coronavirus, they want their story to show up in other people's feed. They want to get their story trending. I mentioned a moment ago about Kobe Bryant and his death and what emerged out of that tragedy. Kobe was the father of four girls, and so this hashtag girl dad became very popular. And so folks who had daughters would post pictures of them with their daughters and post, you know, on Facebook or Instagram and put hashtag girl dad. You know, I didn't do this. I thought about doing it. I have two daughters, and I thought about getting a picture of, you know, me and Kira and Caitlin and putting them. But when I searched in Facebook girl dad, this is what came up. Here's a picture of my friend Fate Haygood. He's a preacher out in Los Angeles, California. And there's a picture of Fate and his daughter. The next hit I got was a picture of my friend Jim Calkin, another friend of mine in Michigan. Here he is with his two daughters and his granddaughter. Hashtag girl dad. So when anyone goes to Facebook and they type in the search, you know, hashtag girl dad, these are some of the results that will come up. It's trying to get this topic trending. It becomes popular. All over the world, girl dad was trending, and the topic of daddy's love for their daughters was celebrated. You know, here's again a positive feature of social networking. It got me to thinking. What can the people of God get trending during Lent 2020? It's the year 2020. We're in the season of Lent. The season of Lent started last Wednesday on what's called Ash Wednesday. Someone described Lent as a season of preparation, self-reflection, and repentance, when we seek to literally turn around and realign our lives and focus toward God. It is a time to give up things as well as to take on new life-giving practices, helping us rid ourselves of distractions and our own selfish desires. By doing so, we seek to live and love as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Again, Lent is often dominated with discussions of what we're giving up. What did you give up for Lent? I gave up chocolate. I gave up coffee. I gave up, you know, sleeping. I gave up these things for Lent. We always talk about what we give up. Very rarely do we talk about what life-giving practices are we inviting into our lives. Last year, I gave up, I think, sugar. But I also introduce exercise. I hadn't been exercising for a very long time, and I was doing well until I hurt my back. But that was a life-giving practice, because you know what? This is God's temple, and I need to take care of God's temple. So yeah, I stopped eating sugar, I lost some weight, and I actually started feeling good by So it's not just about giving up things, it's also about introducing some new things in your life. So I wonder, what things can we get trending in terms of some life-giving ideas or practices? What can we as the people of God get trending? And I'm not really talking about on social media, but if we do get it trending on social media, that's fine too. But I'm talking about like in real life. What can we as God's people get trending? And so this morning, the most logical place to start in terms of what we can get trending is Jesus. Jesus. I think the people of God, God's people, Christians, Jesus followers, the most appropriate place, the most logical place to start. What can we get trending? Can we get Jesus trending? You may ask, why start with Jesus? Because I would argue, church, that it's all about Jesus. We are unashamed followers of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we make some bold claims, some claims that we are unashamed about, some claims that we hold dear to our heart, some claims that roll right off of our tongue because it's so ingrained in who we are. You see, we make a claim that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Redeemer, Jesus is King, Jesus is the bread of life, Jesus is the light of the world, Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the door to life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is our God and our Lord. Jesus is our way when we don't know where our way is. Jesus is our hope when hope has gone away. Jesus is our rescue when sin has taken us away. Jesus is our sobriety when addiction has compromised our lives. Jesus is our forgiveness when we need restoration. Jesus is our identity when we are in search for purpose. Jesus is our forgiveness when we need restoration. Jesus is our strength when life has weakened our spirit. Jesus is the balm in Gilead, giving us healing from all our wounds. Jesus is our liberation, freeing us from all forms of oppression. Quite simply, Jesus is the man. He's unmatched. He's undefeated. He's unique in that our allegiance to Jesus gives us access to the Almighty God in heaven and all that he has to offer. This is what Paul writes to the Ephesian church in chapter 1 of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse number 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ," that's Jesus, "before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved." Amen, church. Do you believe that? Isn't that a blessing that in Jesus we have access to all that God has to offer? Every spiritual blessing is found in Jesus. This is the Jesus whose name we bear when we call ourselves Christians, and and participate in a church that bears his name. The Christian church is perhaps the greatest critic of our world and current culture. We don't like what's going on in our world and current culture. We don't like what's going on with rampant immorality and social decay in our world. It would seem to me that if we believe that Jesus is all that I mentioned above, we would want to get Jesus trending in our world. It would seem to me that of all the things that we could get trending, and there are some good ones. Yesterday, I went to Nashville Hot Chicken Takeover. How many people have been to Nashville Hot Chicken Takeover? Lord Jesus, that's some good chicken. And it would be good to get Nashville hot chicken trending. I can go on Facebook and put hashtag, there's some good chicken. And maybe people will click on that and go get hot chicken. Or I could go on Facebook right now and put hashtag winning. Why would I put hashtag winning? I went to the thrift store a couple of weeks ago and I found this brand new jacket with the tags on it. Brand spanking new, and I bought it for $5, church. I could put hashtag winning on Facebook. There's some good things that we can get trending on social media and in this world. But above all those things, above the best chicken that you've ever eaten, amongst the greatest jacket or greatest deal that you have ever gotten, above all of that, church, is Jesus. And we ought to get Jesus trending. This is not a new idea. We have tried our best in times past to get Jesus trending. Remember we used to wear "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets? That was a way to get Jesus trending, church. Or any other type of Jesus apparel, or t-shirt, a hat. How many people remember going to the games, going to a football game or watching a football game on TV, and there's always someone in the crowd with what? John 3:16, right? That's a way to get Jesus trending. This is not a new idea. In fact, do you know who started Get the Jesus Trending movement? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. When he said these words, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, Jesus followers, if you have love for one another." We want to get Jesus trending? A new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. The problem is, I think many of us don't think that that's enough. Jesus has to be the number one teaching, the number one idea, the number one doctrine, and the number one belief for us. Jesus has to lead our discussions. It has to fuel our discussions. Our actions, our words, our service, our reactions have to represent Jesus. When we love as Jesus has loved, people will know that we are his disciples. And we will get Jesus trending. For Paul, the apostle, it was all about Jesus. Now here's something that he wrote to the Corinthian church. This was a church that had a wealth of problems about a ton of things. But here Paul, when he writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Jesus. Yeah, Paul would talk about other things. But what was the number one? Jesus. Many of you who are long members of the Church of Christ probably know a man or remember the name Jack Exum. Jack Exum used to do this seminar called Three Incredible Days or something like that. I saw Jack Exum when I was at Rochester College. He came and did. He spoke at a event we had there. I remember him telling the story that he did a retreat for some men, some ministers in the Churches of Christ. And he said, okay, he got out a chalkboard and he said, I'm going to write on a chalkboard the top 10 most important items we need to be talking about in church. And so number one, he wrote and says, you know, the purity of the church, you know. And number two was how we need to stop innovations from taking us astray. And gets down and we talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We need to talk about baptism. You know. Number five was, you know, a cappella singing. And number six, somebody said Jesus. And then he stopped and he said, Jesus didn't even make the top five. Why is it that Jesus is not the number one conversation that we're having? It has to be number one. We have to start with Jesus. And we have to start with his new command. Love as I have loved you. You see, that's how people are going to know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse number 26, there's a fascinating passage. You know, in chapter 11, Paul and Barnabas, they're missionaries, and they've started all these new churches. And what's unique about this church here in Antioch is that in Antioch, it wasn't a church made up of just Jews. You know, up until that time, you go and you establish these new church communities. Typically, these church communities were comprised of one culture. So you had churches that were primarily all Jews. Or you know, Philip goes down into Samaria and starts some churches down there, and you had churches that were primarily Samaritans. Or then you have some churches that were primarily Gentiles or non-Jews. But in Antioch, there were folks from all over the place. Jews, Gentiles, there were poor folk and rich folk, there men and women, all meeting in the same place. Now, we probably don't have a good appreciation for that because we're in here now, we've got some different backgrounds, some different cultures, you know, we're male and female, and that's just our way. But back then, that was revolutionary, that was uncommon, church. And it was at this place, Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for the entire year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Many scholars will tell you that that wasn't a term that originated with the Christian. That's what outsiders called them. They would see these different people meeting together and gathering together, and they would say, what is going on here? Poor folk ain't supposed to be meeting with rich folk. Jews not supposed to be meeting with Gentiles. What's going on over there? The outsider says, oh, that's those Christ followers. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Church, let's get Jesus trending. I think in order for us to get Jesus trending, we need to just fall in love with Jesus again. Remember in the book of Revelation where the message to the seven churches, there was one church in particular, a church in Ephesus, where the Spirit of the Lord says, You have abandoned. This is such a hard-hitting text. He says, you've abandoned your first love. And I think in a church, we have found so many things to love more than Jesus. They're good things. Church programs, church identity, that's good. first love has to be Jesus. We know that. We know that to be true. Because those of us who have kids that we've raised in a church, the first thing we taught our kids wasn't church organization, was it? When our kids were babies, did we say, now there's elders, and there's deacons, and there's the minister? We did do things like this. Sing this song with me if you know the song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Isn't that what we did with our kids? Then as we got older and we became kids and started coming to church, the songs that we remember and could sing from memory are songs, again, not talking about church organization or church programs, they talk about Jesus. Sing this song if you know this song. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Didn't need a songbook, didn't need the words on the screen. Jesus. Church, what the world needs today, more than a shot for some virus that's spreading and scaring people to death. What the world needs more than ever is not a candidate that's going to bring us all together. That's about to be the social media diatribe that people are going to get in making the case for their guy or their gal. What the world, what this country need, what this community needs, what our home needs, what our schools need, is Jesus. And God has given us the responsibility to get the name of Jesus trending. And the place we start in getting Jesus trending is for us to fall in love again with Jesus, as if it was the first time. Let's relearn those songs that we've committed to memory that had such an impact on our lives. Let's get the name of Jesus trending. Years ago, I played a video that still to this day, and I think this video came out probably 17 years ago. It's a video that took the words of a preacher who was at a conference, and somebody said, his name is S.M. Lockridge, and somebody said to him at this conference, "Hey, could you come up to the stage and just tell us about Jesus?" Right? And he comes up to the stage, no Bible, no notes, and he offers what has become one of the most incredible expressions of who Jesus is. And the only way that you can embody such a oratory masterpiece is to be so in love with Jesus and to know him. So I want us to listen to this remix of That's My King.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen.
I wish I could describe him to you. It's my favorite part. The only way to know someone that intimately is to fall in love with him all over again. So my invitation this morning is that we fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him so that he becomes first place. Fall in love with him so that he becomes the first conversation. Fall in him so that he becomes the most important idea, teaching, doctrine in our lives. Such that when he says, I want you to love as I have loved you, because it's by your love for one another that you, that people will know that you are my disciples. And church, by doing so, I think we get Jesus trending. As we sing this next song, if there's a way that we can get Jesus trending in your life, in your world, you want to draw closer to him, but you're finding it difficult right now, you need us to pray for that, we'll do that right now. If this is the moment where you want to stand up in front of this small group here and say, I want Jesus to be my king. I want him to be the holy and anointed one in my life. I want to say yes to him in everything that I do, every decision that I make. I want Jesus to be at the forefront. And perhaps you want to seal that by being obedient to Jesus and expressing faith in him, being baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll do that. Let's stand and let's sing this love song to Jesus. And if there's any needs that we can meet, please come.